You are listening to the
Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We are at war today. The government, the prosecutor office, the sheriff department, and the mayor here in the city of Benton Harbor have declared war on the citizens. They're saying, if you don't do what they want you to do, that they will come after you. I'm going to play a tape, probably about 5:55 Eastern time, so people can hear this mayor threatening the community on what he will do. He's about to be recalled. Well, officially, he has already been recalled. Now he got to run for mayor again. We have a big election coming up May 6th, and they're pulling all the stops out. They're kicking in doors. They're going through the front and back door with their hands on their pistols, trying to scare and intimidate people. They're trying to tell the people, do not go out and vote or else. They're telling them, do not sign a recall petition ever again or we'll be back. We have contacted the Justice Department. There have been silence as usual. But we have also contacted the ACLU, who are right in the middle of this. They plan to stand with us on this. We might be filing a civil suit. We're looking at the many options that we do have. They're bringing out their tanks now. They are expecting an uprise. They're scared to death. They don't believe that a group of people with no finance could stand up to them and defeat them. We defeated them once again just by getting the signatures, enough signatures to recall this creepy mayor, sleazeball. But we're after him. We're going after him. We're fighting. We're standing. And we're going to go all across the country with the same attitude, with the very same attitude. We are not going to allow them to continue to pounce on us like they have. But we're fighting. We come to fight. And we will not allow them to continue to push us around. But I tell you this much. We can win this battle if we stick together. We can win this battle if everybody stand up and just do a little something. We're not asking you to do a whole lot, just do a little something. If you can do just a little bit, that would help us win this battle. All across the country, it's the same things happening. It's happening all over. You got a Whirlpool who've been planning to eliminate the African American community for years. This just didn't happen yesterday. This just didn't start happening yesterday. They've been planning. Now it's time to put their plan into operation, and that's what we're fighting. But we're here to fight. There will never be a time that you won't hear that I'm standing up fighting these demons. I know exactly who they are. Anytime you have a group of people who have one thing in mind, that's to wipe out another group of people, then you got a problem. And I'm declaring war on all that. But listen, before we get into our show today, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King. Let's see what Martin Luther King has to say about this.
People
conclude by saying today that we have a task, and let us go out with a divine dissatisfaction. Let us be dissatisfied until America will no longer have a high blood pressure of creeds and an anemia of deeds. Let us be dissatisfied until the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and despair shall be crushed by the battering rams of the forces of justice. Let us be dissatisfied until we live on the outskirts of hope, brought into the metropolis of daily security. Let us be dissatisfied until slums are cast into the junk heaps of history, and every family will live in a decent sanitary home. Let us be dissatisfied until the dark yesterdays of segregated schools will be transformed into bright tomorrows of quality integrated education. Let us be dissatisfied until integration is not seen as a problem, but as an opportunity to participate in the beauty of diversity. Let us be dissatisfied until men and women, however black they may be, will be judged on the basis of the content of that character, not on the basis of the color of that skin. Let us be dissatisfied. Let us be dissatisfied until every state capital be housed by a governor who will do justly, who will love mercy, and who will walk humbly with his God. Let us be dissatisfied until from every city hall justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let us be dissatisfied till that day when the lion and the lamb shall lie down. Every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. Let us be dissatisfied. Men will recognize that out of one blood God made all men, upon the face of the earth. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power, human power. I must confess, my friend, roll ahead will not always be smooth. There will still be rocky places of frustration, meandering points of bewilderment. There will be inevitable setbacks here and there. There will be those moments when the buoyancy of hope will be transformed into the fatigue of despair. Our dreams will sometime be shattered. Our ethereal hopes blasting, we may again with tear-drenched eyes have to stand before the bier of some courageous civil rights worker whose life will be snuffed out by the dastardly acts of bloodthirsty mobs. Difficult and painful as it is, we must walk on in the days ahead with an audacious faith in the future. And as we continue our chartered course, we may gain consolation. The word so nobly left by that great black bard was also a great freedom fighter of yesterday, James Weldon Johnson. Yeah. Stony the road we trod. Yeah. Bitter the chastening rod felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yeah. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our father sighed. We have come over the way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered, out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the bright gleam of our bright star is cast. Let this affirmation forward stride toward the city of freedom. When our days become dreary, with low hovering clouds of despair, when our nights become darker than a thousand midnights, let us remember that there is a creative force in this universe working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way, transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Let us realize that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Let us realize that William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. Let us go out realizing that the Bible is right. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is our hope for the future. With this faith, we will be able to sing in some not too distant tomorrow with a cosmic past tense. We have overcome. We have overcome. Deep in my heart, I did believe we would overcome.
All right, you are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I have a hot topic today for everybody to get into. I'm going to play this streamlined video of our mayor, James Hightower, sometime in the show so people can hear why we recalling this creep. But it's so important that people understand how important it is to take a stand and fight back. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend Edward from beautiful the West Coast. Okay. Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. How
All
are
right,
you today?
Let's talk to me. You know what? I did some research on some of the stuff that you were saying, and I came to the conclusion that it looked like some of the stuff you're saying is right on point. Especially when you talked about cancer and things like that. I said, well, if you don't take chemo and all these other things, that people are going to die from that. But, you know, it all depends on the stage you're at. But listen, I want you to tell me about it. Talk to me about
Actually,
let the audience know all about it.
Yes. Actually, my mother drew her last breath when I was 15. I used to cry myself to sleep at 11, 12, 13 years old. So when the opportunity came up to find out the absolute truth, even back then I was told different things that they were treating it wrong, and this was many years ago. So when it came up, the opportunity for me to fly in and meet with certain individuals that were brilliant, and they introduced me to other brilliant individuals, I took the opportunity, took advantage of it, and I learned that they're treating it totally wrong, and it's all greed, money, and they're on the board of directors of Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital. These heads of Bristol-Myers that are putting out 50% of the chemotherapy, for instance, and they say it's not a conflict of interest because they're not taking a salary is the only reason it's not a conflict of interest, but they sell their chemo to the hospital and to everyone. There is simple ways of reversing stage 4 cancer. Dr. Freebot taught me years ago at the International Institute of Oxygen Therapies that he cured himself of rectal cancer, which is the easiest one to cure at age 19, and went on to reverse. And they don't allow you to use the word cure in the medical industry. If you use the word cure, you are thrown out of the AMA. You're not allowed to cure anything anyway. It's totally illegal. But you can put cancer into remission simply by flooding the body with proper nascent singlet oxygen, pulling out all the toxins, and re-nutritionalizing and mineralizing the body properly. Most bodies are deficient in magnesium that have cancer, and you can check that out. I have read untold amounts of documents on reversing every type of dysfunctional health, and I have learned and I have helped many individuals pull out all the cause of the dysfunctional health out of their body. First of all, get rid of all the toxins in your body. then reoxygenate the body properly with Nacean singlet oxygen, which is live oxygen, comes from ozone, changes to hydrogen peroxide in the body, which is what your immune system puts out, hydrogen peroxide. And if it's not functioning properly or doesn't recognize the cancer in the body, then you have to help it along, okay? And proper nutrition helps tremendously. Changing your diet to a plant-based diet and possibly a liquid diet helps to reverse many dysfunctional health situations. I have reversed some of the most stringent lung deficiencies from friends of mine, and they are, Herbie's got his driver's license again. That was totally unknown to him. In the meantime, Dr. Ralph Morse, as I was saying last week, did a radio show on the side effects, or excuse me, the lies and deception of chemotherapy and radiation. There are many different ways of reversing dysfunctional health that do not have negative side effects. And I'm not saying there's only one way to do anything. I just happen to find out ways that do work. And they work on just about everything. A couple of different things works on just about everything. In Europe, they're using ozone clinics instead of cut and poison medical institutions like they do in the United States to reverse most dysfunctional health, 97 to 100% of AIDS and HIV, and 91 to 93% of stage 4 cancers after the doctor gave up can be reversed, and all you have to do is know how. But the only people that seek out the real truth are the ones that are still well enough after the doctors tell them, go home, make the best of it. You have 2 months, 4 months, 6 months. The rest of them will go for chemotherapy and radiation, and I get phone calls back telling me they died of pneumonia. Well, every time I've ever had to reverse pneumonia in every one of my family members or myself, I did it in less than 24 hours. And the same, one of the two applications that I utilized, the doctors would call up and ask why their patients don't have tumors in their lungs anymore. Well, it was simple. They coughed them up just like the tumors. The body is healthy tissue, is negative ionic, and the bad things that need to come out of the body is positive ionic. So if you had a magnet that could draw all positive ions to it and pull it out of the body without passing them through the bloodstream, then you can detoxify the body without any side effects whatsoever. And that is what I profess to everyone. So let me read a little bit from this article that is about the lies and deception from Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital from Dr. Ralph Morse on the Laura Lee Show from 1994, by the way. Laura Lee starts out, the medical establishment keeps telling us that there are only three ways to treat cancer, chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. Many people disagree. Among them is Dr. Ralph Morse, author of a new book, Cancer Therapy. Dr. Morse, can we have a bit of background on you? And why you became so interested and decided to devote your practice and research to cancer. Ralph Morse, 20 years ago, I was hired at Memorial Sloan Kettering, MSK, Cancer Center in New York, as a science writer, later promoted to Assistant Director of Public Affairs. Shortly after, I went to work there. I went to visit an elderly Japanese scientist, Kane Matsu Sugiura, who astonished me when he told me that he was working on Laetril, B17, that's a vitamin, by the way. Laetril comes from the peach pits, and I've seen people put in jail because of Laetril. I'm ad-libbing a little bit, okay. At the time, it was almost a controversial thing in cancer, reputed to be a cure for cancer. We in public affairs were giving out statements that Laetril was worthless. It was quackery, and people should not abandon proven therapies. I was astonished that our most distinguished scientists would be bothering with something like this. Oh. I went and moved my eyes. It was quack. I was, okay, why are you doing this? If it does not work, he took down lab books and show me that, in fact, Laetril is dramatically effective in stopping the spread of cancer. The animals were genetically programmed to get breast cancer at about 80 to 90% of them. How am I coming across? Am I coming through okay? Uh-oh, the phone is ringing.
That's okay. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Come on, Evan. Let's do it. Come on now.
Of them, okay. The animals were genetically programmed to get breast cancer, and about 80 to 90% of them normally get spread of cancer from the breast to the lungs, which is a common route in humans. Also, for how people die of breast cancer. And instead, when they gave the animals Laetril by injection, only 10 to 20% of them got lung metastases. And these facts were verified by many people, including the pathology department. Laura, so this is verified that Laetril can have this positive effect? We were finding this, and yet in public affairs, we're told to issue statements to the exact opposite of what we were finding scientifically. And as the years went by, I got more wrapped up in this thing. And 3 years later, I said all this in my own press conference and was fired the next day for failing to carry out the most basic job responsibility, i.e., to lie to the public what goes on in cancer research. So now he was fired from Memorial Sloan Kettering. Laura, how can these people justify this in their own minds? Ralph, basically, the attitude was best expressed by Lewis Thomas, the president of the center, who told my boss, as he would not see me, I am not going to die on the barricades for Laetril. It is not a cure. It is only a palliative, meaning it relieves pain and stops the spread of cancer. If it were a cure, it might be a different story, but I'm not going to give up my career to die on the barricades. That's how they justified it in their own minds. I could not do that, nor could Dr. Sugiura, who never renounced the results of his studies, despite the fact that they put enormous pressure on him to do so. Are we practicing, Laura, are we practicing science here, or medicine, or politics? Ralph, politics. Political science, as we say. Laura, you are mentioning that patients here cure rate when something very different is being talked about. And we can go into the poor statistics for the standard modalities. They are not that effective, which is why everyone is looking for an alternative. Ralph, when I was at MSK, a lot of very weird things started to happen to me. There was this cognitive distance between what I was told and was writing about treatment, especially chemotherapy, and what I was seeing with my own eyes. One time I heard the head of the intensive care unit give a talk in which he bragged about how he had one of the lowest mortality rates in his unit. I went out to lunch with him, where he became a bit inebriated and told me how he managed to get those statistics. By wheeling the dying patients out into the corridor where they died and didn't sully our department's record. Laura, let's skew those statistics any way that looks good to us. Ralph, another time I went to interview a breast surgeon, and he had a lamp in the shape of a woman's breast on his desk. I couldn't even get out a single interview question. I was so astounded by this insensitivity. And here, women were flocking in to have their breasts removed by this guy. And I thought, I didn't have any idea what was wrong, but it was that twilight zone of knowing, feeling that something was definitely wrong, but not knowing what it was. It was only when I had the enforced leisure from being fired that I was able to really look into it. Laura, it is interesting how many establishment doctors start out in many cases to disprove the efficacy of alternative therapies and become advocates of alternative therapies. I don't hear many stories of the other way around. Ralph, no, it is not likely. So I started to look into the whole question of chemotherapy in particular. That is the cutting edge of orthodox treatment. And I have now completed a report. Chemotherapy, how, when, and why, with emphasis on the why. Although we do give some information for those who are taking chemotherapy on what they can take to decrease the side effects. Basically, it is a very critical, comprehensive look, for we deal with about 60 different types of cancer and all of the FDA-approved anti-cancer drugs. The bottom line is, for a few kinds of cancer, chemotherapy is a life-extending procedure. Hodgkin's disease, acute lymphoma leukemia, testicular cancer, and choriosarcocarcinoma. Testicular cancer has yielded to platinum-containing drugs. Well, I have friends that were actually cured with vitamin C IV drips in their 70s and told me about that. Laura, it probably makes you impotent. Ralph, it does more than that. It is extremely damaging to the body, but it does lead to a very extended life for people with this problem. An interesting thing is that platinum is the old homeopathic drug for problems of the testicles or the ovaries, and Hanni Niman proved that on himself 180 years ago. But allopathic medicine takes this basic idea without giving credit, of course, ups the dose by the billions because they can't conceive of small doses having significant biological effect and consequently put in massive amounts of homeopathic medicines and cause tremendous toxicity and other problems, second cancers down the road, and so forth. Outside those four or five treatments for which chemotherapy is effective, there are few where there is very moderate effectiveness in terms of life extension, lung cancer and ovarian cancer with a possible of colon cancer. Now, like I said, colon cancer is the easiest one to reverse. Laura, when you look at the statistics, chemotherapy is a standard treatment for all types of cancer, generally speaking. Ralph, yes, it has become. Laura, however, when you really look at the statistics, you were saying only a few respond. Ralph, yes, 2-4%. Laura, how in the world, Dr. Morse, can it be considered a standard cure when it works for 2-4% and very specific ones? Ralph, we are dealing with an industry. It is not supported by the facts. The way that it is done is this. The drugs are tested in test tubes, and they look for things that will kill cells. After you have found something that kills cells, cancer cells, cell lines, which are very abnormal, non-typical sort of growths, maybe a new life form almost, then you put it into animals. Then, if it kills the cancers before it kills the animals and shrinks the tumors, you consider you have an active agent. You then put it into people and go through the three phases the FDA prescribes for this. And basically, if you can shrink the tumors 50% or more for 28 days, you got the FDA's definition of an active drug. That is called response rate. So you have a response different from a cure. Remember, shrinking the tumor doesn't mean you're cured. I just want to throw that in. Ralph, quite a bit, because you look to see if there is any life prolongation from taking this treatment. What you find is all kinds of hocus-pocus and song and dance about the disease-free survival and this and that. In the end, there is no proof that chemotherapy in the vast majority of cases actually extends life. And this is the great lie about chemotherapy, that somehow there is a correlation between shrinking a tumor and extending the life of the patient, Laura, or that there is a correlation between looking at a cancer cell in a test tube and the tumor in someone's body. Ralph, absolutely. What happens as you grow those cells in cell lines, they become very weird. Hundreds and hundreds of generations later, they don't even look like even normal human cancer cells. They are things that grow under glass, immortal cells, unlike normal body cells or normal cancer cells. So much cancer research is very questionable because it is based on this cell line research.
Hey, Edward, you got about 2 more minutes, so let's get it together.
Oh, I thought I was going to be able to read this document.
You was. You had 25 minutes already.
Okay, not really. Politics, it seems, is the word you must understand in order to understand what is going on. It is not science. It is not medicine. It is politics. Ralph, and big money, you have to understand that cancer is 1/9 of the overall health budget in the United States. The last figures I have seen from the American Cancer Society of money spent on cancer directly, indirectly or directly at $107 billion. Laura, AIDS is a $4 billion, and I'll stop it right there. I'm only on page 3 1/4. This is a 10-page document. Give me a call if you want more information. I can send you the document, and you can read it slowly yourself, pass it along to others, prevent people from getting chemotherapy and radiation, and learn how to reverse all types of disease simply and easily. Give me a call at 818-613-9206. That's 818-613-9206. You can email me. I'll give you this email. Edward, E-D-W-A-R-D, Edward dot 500, 500, B as in boy, at gmail.com. So that's Edward dot 500, B as in boy, at gmail.com, and I'll certainly send you this file because I want as many people to have it in their possession as possible so they can help as many as possible. We need to
Those of you out there, give Edward a call and let him help you. Edward, I got to move on.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, it's that time now. I got to play this quick tape that the mayor of Benton Harbor had threatened one of the people in the community, and just to show you the type of guy he is and why we recall him. So I'm going to play it right now, so listen closely.
Sure that if my name goes on a ballot, none of you are going to be on a ballot, and I guarantee you, you will not be in office, and you will not be holding any offices. Period. Now, I'm just telling you that. I'm not threatening, but I'm just saying, if that's how you gonna come at me, I ain't got no choice.
Then all I'll say to you is don't take this personal. And
Out. So that's
right. And remember, Melinda, that's the only recourse you got.
Yes, you have.
There is no other recourse.
Well, I need you to come down here and help us to recall a few of these people that
hey,
down
I'm,
here
look,
in Louisiana.
You know me. Look, I gotta go. We got that big march May 24th, and then I got the then I'll be in New York. Then I promise you, I'll be down there. That's a promise, not a say so.
Well, you know, I want to let you know that we got a lot going on here in Louisiana, and I'm hoping that Mr. Carl Gamble is listening on the line. And we want to talk about, you know, how these people, you know, who stole the money from Katrina, the roll home money from the people, Pastor Pinckney. We have so many people that have not been able to return to their homes here. I mean, billions of dollars was stolen from these people, and people are still suffering and being threatened to pay monies back that some of them did not even receive the money, Pastor Pinckney. So, you know, I know Mr. Carl Gamma, I want you to have him come on, and he's going to really tell the real story, the real truth about what really happened here during Katrina. And, you know, I want you to give him some time, you know, as much time as he needs. The last four numbers is 9722 in his phone. So have him come on, Pastor Pinckney. But
9722. Unfortunately, he must be calling in on the 504 number.
Yeah, it's a 504 number. That's what he's on listening.
I think it's different than the last four you say. Well, let me see if this him. Hold on with me.
Okay.
Mr. Gamma, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Melinda gave me the wrong number. I'm going to take it out of my wheel. Listen, talk to me.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, we got serious problems here in Louisiana. I'm a member of Belinda Brown's organization. She's the president. The Louisiana United International is a force for justice because something got to be done. Because as of the day in New Orleans, over 100,000 African Americans have yet to return to the city. Now, the money that they obtained from HUD and FEMA came to a grand total of $108 billion. Mathematically, it's 1,000 million in a billion. Today, many African Americans have yet to be able to rebuild their house. Now, in the city of New Orleans, 80,000 homes receive major and severe damage. Most of the damage occurred in predominantly black zip codes, but they did not get enough money to rebuild their homes. HUD promised them $150,000. In my case, I only received $23,000. In order to get back into my house after 5 years cost me $138,000. But many of the people on fixed income could not raise that money. So what they was able to do came in for a land grab and a housing grab. They used three options. Now, option one is to build, repair, and rebuild your home. Option two was to sell your house to the state if it had more than 51% damage. Safety and permits was told not to issue you a permit if it had more than 50% damage to your house. So they subtract your homeowner's insurance, which primarily cover content, from the 60% pre-sump value. So you didn't get enough money to rebuild your house. And so many African Americans, especially the senior citizens, was tricked. So they got their house for $35,000 or $40,000. House that in Louisiana prior to Katrina was valued at $165,000, $107,000. So they was able to rip a lot of black folks off. In fact, the Road Home Program was having an organization which is synonymous with them called Louisiana Land Trust. They have obtained over 12,000 pieces of property. They used the money that came from HUD to buy the houses from the families when they should have given the money to the homeowners to fix the home up to indemnify themselves. So we have filed charges with the Justice Department, asking them to come and investigate. Also, we have contacted HUD, as well as FEMA. But as of this date, none of the big crooks have gone to jail. They are the big crooks. that concocted a scheme to take the homes from the people who spent their lifetime trying to buy those homes and pay for those homes. But they concocted a scheme after Hurricane Katrina to take those folks' homes.
Wow, Mr. Gamble, you mean to tell me since 2005, that's when Katrina hit, that the people have not moved into their homes as of yet?
Over 100,000 African Americans. Never in the history of America have that many evacuees never returned to their domicile. Even if you go back and trace the hurricane that hit Galveston, only about 12 or 13,000 returned. We have about 118,000 African Americans today are still in exile. They shipped African Americans to 44 states. I have relatives I haven't seen since Katrina.
Right. You know, some of them came here to Benton Harbor.
A lot of them in Michigan.
Right.
They gave them a one-way ticket out of New Orleans. When they gave them that one-way ticket, they didn't make any plans to come back.
Right. Mr. Gamble, you see, nobody is talking about that all around the country.
The news media here, the Road Home program took out major advertisements with the print media and electronics media in this city. So they feel they have somehow owe a favor to the Road Home program. So what the news media are doing here is suppressing news stories. So any journalist outside of New Orleans, if he came in here and looked at some of the things that's going on, he can get a Pulitzer Prize or any kind of prize in journalism. Because there's some stories to tell. Over 2,000 people died from Hurricane Katrina. And the news media have been treated that very cavalier. Over 2,000 people died when they didn't have to die. Because the mayor of the city, Ray Nagin, he had money to pay to evacuate the city. But he put a white guy head of Homeland Security for the city named Terry Ebert. He made no attempt to evacuate African Americans, but the whites went to North Louisiana and Central Louisiana, put them on campground and trailers and trailer parks.
Wow.
While the blacks in this city, at least about 65 or 70,000, had no form of transportation. So they were left here stranded around Katrina, and many of them died. Mm-hmm. You got people still looking for their relatives. They don't know whether they're living or dead. Because the media somehow have done a blackout on Hurricane Katrina, the biggest disaster in the history of America.
Absolutely.
But where is the journalist at? Especially the black journalists. Where are they? See, that somehow it happened in America. Most of our black newspapers want to deal with soft news. When you expose the system, it's hard news. Telling the truth is not hard truth, not hard news. Because Carlyle said, no lie can live forever. William Cullen Bryant said, truth crushes the earth, shall rise again. And if you're a journalist, you should come down here to find out what happened to your people, if you're a real journalist. Because the story has yet to be told about Hurricane Katrina. And folks are suffering here in the city of New Orleans.
Absolutely.
You got people today, they don't have a clue how they're going to get back in their homes. Now, somehow recently, the Road Home program somehow discovered they had $1,500,000,000 not spent. So we are fighting, Belinda Brown and a lot of us are fighting, to see could they give that to the people who have yet to return to the city and get back into their homes. That should be a front-page story on every major network in this country. Whether it's MSNBC, CBS and ABC, and NBC, that these many people are still in exile after Hurricane Katrina 8 years ago. But nobody's talking about it in the major media.
You know what, Mr. Gamble, you are absolutely correct, too. You're talking about that many people in exile. Something needs to be done. Matter of fact, we should plan a big rally or something and definitely entice the media, even if it's the corporate media, to come. Maybe we tell them something that they might want to hear, they'll come out. Well, we need to do something, Mr. Gamble. But listen,
let me show you the trick that George Bush and Dick Cheney pulled on the people.
Yeah.
They brought in 121,000 people called guest workers, another form of slavery, from South America, Central America, and Mexico to clean up and rebuild New Orleans. That was done to make sure that the evacuees couldn't find jobs so they could return. And they paid these people who they brought in here from South America, Central America, Mexico, $3 and $4 an hour. And the first thing George Bush did on September the 8th, he suspended the David Bacon Act, which says if you're a federal contractor, that you got to pay prevailing wages. And so that's what they was able to do, was bring in guest workers into the city to clean,
wow,
to rebuild New Orleans. So the first thing for you to do to return, you need to find you a job so you can pay rent or pay your house note. So many of those guest workers are still here in New Orleans, repairing and rebuilding New Orleans, especially in the horticulture field, in the carpenter field, bricklayers. They're not even from America. See, they're not protected by the David Bacon Act because they're not citizens.
Yeah.
Now, all of this has happened here in New Orleans. It happened in other major cities, these guest workers. And many of these white general contractors are bringing them in so they can pay them slave wages. And the news media in this country somehow is slipping through a revolution. They act like they cannot see that.
Wow.
But George Bush and Dick Cheney was the brainchild behind that.
Man,
and like I say, something needs to be done. And like I said, we're going to fight on.
Right on.
And we was in D.C.
I tell you one thing. I would love for you to come on again next week and talk about this because I think the more you talk about it, the more people understand how serious this matter is. And we will do all we can to help. And I know Belinda always talk about these things, but you nailed it right on the head. And I'm sorry I don't have much more time to give you, but next week I can give you some more time if you want to come on and talk about it.
Well, we're looking forward to your visit. What month are you coming to New Orleans?
Probably in June.
In June?
Yes.
Well, we'll be looking forward to you. If you fly in, we should pick you up at the airport.
Absolutely. I there's not even a doubt in my mind. We'll be ready for you. So I will be ready. But listen, I would love for you to come on next week and give the folks just a little bit more.
Thank you, Connie. And
all
you
right.
Have a great day.
You do the same. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. My good friend Ralph Pointer from New York, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, as usual, and listening intently. And the interesting thing about your program is all of these things that you have been talking about are coming to pass. And the only viable and the only reason to have a program or to espouse a political position is to be able to advise people as to how to conduct themselves to live a better life and to protect themselves from the evil empire. Now, here we are on Easter week, and we talk about the Roman Empire and the destruction of Jesus, the destruction, and remember, Jesus was a rabbi. He was a person of Jewish religion. And because he exposed what was happening in the organized church, he was killed by the people of that society. And when you read the scripture, you read how various people saw clearly what was happening. And Pontius Pilate's wife spoke to him, telling him not to do this ridiculous, outrageous thing. And as you read the scripture, you realize how those who are in power, those who have a position in the empire, work against the people, then as well as now. Now, over the years, you have been telling people about supporting those who support them. Not those who say they support them, but those who support them. Those people who tell us what is going to happen. You told us what was going to happen with the corporations, and just like during the empire, in the empire there were people who had vested interest over the years that oppose the interests of the people. Like today, we have corporations, and when America was formed, it was called trading companies when they had genocide against the indigenous people and slavery against people of color for profit and to maintain their own power, and nothing has changed. And when we hear stories about what has happened in New Orleans, what is happening in Benton Harbor, we look for a solution. And when we see the disenfranchisement of people, fiscal emergency managers, privatization of schools, selling of public institutions and public properties to private interests for money, for profit, the end of pensions or loss of pensions that people thought were guaranteed, and you'll hear this on public corporate media during the week, of how many people are going to be left out in the cold, little by little by little, the encroachment. This group gets it, and how it has moved from Benton Harbor, a black community, to Detroit, a small black community, Detroit, a larger black community, to white corporate people, middle class people, losing their homes, people losing their homes because of illness, physical illness, because of lack of medical rights. And it is a creeping cancer of imperialism, imperial power. And it is walking over all of us because we refuse to recognize those institutions and those people who support us. And we have you, and you're traveling around the country. We must multiply you to have other people stand up and be clear about what is true and what the government is doing. You people on your program have supported Lynn Stewart, and now Lynn Stewart is out here with us, supporting the dispersion of information. We are in an information revolution, and yet people know nothing. And we must begin to make people understand those who have policies that make it better for us and those who talk about policies that make it better for us and at the same time make it worse for us. You have been talking about the NAACP that has not done their job to support us. I talk about the Democratic Party that has not done the job of supporting us. But we must stop that, and we must do as you have done, develop our own organizations. None but ourselves are going to bring freedom, justice, a decent society, and education. We must understand who and what it is when we say none but ourselves. We must disassociate from the liars. Can you imagine? We have people in New Orleans voted for the mayor, the past mayor, who told them he was going to support the corporations. Of course, Mayor Megan is now in big trouble himself because he got caught in the corruption that he was very much a part of. But we see that people supported him, even though they had candidates there who were telling them the truth. And as day and as times go by, there's going to be other elections in Benton Harbor, and people who were not eligible to be elected will now be eligible for election, and I'm talking about none other than Reverend Pinckney. But before that happens, we must understand who's on our side. Look to the people who have been fighting for justice. Look to the people who have been telling us the truth about what's going to happen, and it all comes to pass. And we must stand up to make sure that it doesn't continue what's happening in Benton Harbor, that they crucify the leaders and the people who are the followers who would say, yes, we have to recall not only the mayor of Benton Harbor, but all of those in position who have espoused, who have said they are going to help us and do not help us. Just as you have recalled the head of the NACP. And that's step one. Step two is to make sure the new head does the right thing. Or how do we make sure that they do the right thing? We walk away from them. Don't send your dollars to the NACP. Send your dollars to Reverend Pinckney, who is doing the right thing, telling us what is going to happen, and we see it happening every day, and yet we are not learning. But the bright side of this picture is that they feel now they have to terrorize down front. They have to kick down doors. They have to visit people, meaning they know that people are beginning to understand. So all I can say is on this day where we recognize the treachery of the empire, we have to recognize that we in America are nothing more than the Roman Empire with a new name. Roman Empire was responsible for killing more species than any other empire before nor since until the empire of today, the American empire, that's killing the world with fracking, with destruction of the world by attacking people such as in Vietnam, using chemical weapons that will keep America or keep Vietnam forever growing food again by using instruments of war in Iraq and Vietnam that are not only killing the Iraqis and Afghanis, but killing the American soldiers that visit, that go there to fight on the side of America. That is total disregard for the planet and total disregard for those people that they consider, they, the wealthy, consider the throwaways at home and abroad. Soldiers come back with no benefits, who are homeless. All of these things we have to pay attention to and then create organizations like you have done to support ourselves. How is it that the Institute of Churches all over America have not supported the people of New Orleans? 100,000 have not been able to return home? Where are the churches talking about that? And I think that when Jesus Christ talked about that, he became the enemy. And he talked about all of the things that were wrong within the synagogue. He became the enemy. And those who talk about the powers that be, who would like to change it for the benefit of the people, become the enemy. Lynn Stewart in jail, they look to kill her. We have Snowden, who told the truth, and as Lynn says, I feel bad for him. They wanted to kill me with long time in jail without medical benefits. Snowden, they want to kill him outright. And Chelsea Manning, all of those people who speak up and tell us the truth about what is happening, the government attacks. And soon we hope that they will not be able to do that because we will identify with the people who tell us the truth. Reverend Pinckney, I'm looking forward to the day when we are going to be able to pull the lever for Reverend Pinckney and change all of those organizations that are supposedly helping us. I look forward to that day. I look forward to you coming to New York. I look forward to you being to Louisiana and all of the places where people call for you. And I don't want to upstage Mary Neal by asking before she gets on the program, send your money where it helps you. Send your money to Reverend Pinckney. Thanks again, Reverend Lynn Stewart.
Thank you, Ralph.
I look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely, ma'am. I'm looking forward to it, Ralph. So listen, you take care of yourself, and let's talk soon.
Great.
All right,
thank
my good
you.
Friend Ralph from beautiful New York. Ken, it's that time for you, Ken. The real T.I., the man of the moment, the John Brown, the man who's on the move, who has a who do have a plan,
And his plan is to get all the TIs together to work together to fight this monster that we're fighting, this government that we're fighting. We're fighting a real cancer right here. So let's deal with Kim. Kim Rose, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinion. I got a little better news than what most of you have been having. I'm at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada right now, sitting right in front.
Is that right?
Yeah, and we put a call out for people to show up. And Friday night, I left, it was about 500. We went back to room. I share a room with Pete Santelli, the news radio guy. I said, Pete, we don't have enough guys. I said, we can't do what we're supposed to do tomorrow. He said,
So you at the Bundy Ranch, huh?
Yeah, I'm here, yes.
Right, when did you get there?
I got here Thursday morning, 1 a.m. in the morning.
Also, you was there when they were getting ready to pull their guns and everybody had their guns out.
Let me tell you about it anyway. So anyway, I got here and we're talking about a rancher. They're trying to steal his cattle. They've been rounding them up. They're doing it with helicopters. They're chasing cows up and down the hills with a helicopter and stressing them out. And a lot of them are dying. A lot of the calves died that was just barn because they got separated from their moms. What they're doing is pure evil. So anyway, when I came back down Saturday morning, we got a hotel room. I said, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the hair stood up on my arm. We had at least 2,000 people here. So the sheriff came out, an unconstitutional sheriff, went up on the stage and told us that the BLM is standing down, that we're going to be able to go and release the cattle back out on the range. So Mr. Bundy got up there and he told him, look here, Sheriff Kolaski, you hadn't done your job, and now I'm going to give you what you must do from we the people. He said, you must go out there and take the BLM and collect all their guns and bring them over and put them underneath the American flag right here at this compound, and you must take bulldozers, start bulldozing down all the places where they charge we the people to get on our own land.
Mm.
He said, you got one hour to do that, then we're taking matters in our own hands. So obviously they didn't do that, so I went by and we all started loading up to go where the BLM was at. We literally shut down the freeway on both sides of I-15. That's the main freeway coming into California. We shut their freeway down on both sides. We had the militia with us. And anybody in this country listening to your program today thinks that Americans shouldn't have guns, they better rethink it. Because I'm telling you right now, if we hadn't had the people, the militia with the guns, they would have killed every one of us. We had to go down underneath the underpass. They had a fence up. So they're supposed to be gone, right? They got cars and trucks backed up there, and they look like an army standing behind it. And I was right in the very front of that line because I said, if they're going to kill somebody, let it be me. I've lived a good life. If this is what it takes to get our freedom back. And they started telling us to disperse, and everybody kept just moving closer. And we had, probably 40 cowboys on horses behind us. And they kept telling us to disperse, and we wasn't dispersing. We kept going forward. And then they started drawing their weapons on us. But what they didn't realize, up on the freeway, we had snipers every 50 feet with their guns pointing right at these. They were like a fish in a bowl, because they didn't even realize it. But I think when they caught on, boy, they started backing up, and then they come out and said, okay, give us an hour and we're going to pull out of here. It actually took them about 2 hours, and they were out of there. They were gone. So we backed the BLM, this big federal government, we backed them down. Now, we won that battle, but the war ain't over. But
Absolutely. You know what? That is tremendous. You know, I'm proud of you to be there and stand with them guys because, you know, the government has been pushing people around for years. It's time that everybody stand up to these folks. And that's why they got these tanks and everything that coming in, because they're expecting people now not to take this crap no more, because I don't plan on taking this crap from them.
Well, the thing is, if the people don't come together, you ain't going to do it with 100 people. They don't care. They'll shoot 100 people and say you attacked them. You know how they twist the news and spin it. But when you walk up there, we were 2,000 strong yesterday, and everybody said, you know what, if they come back, we will, everybody's pledged to bring two people with them. So now we're going to be up close to 6,000, you know, or 8,000.
Are you still out there?
I'm still here, yeah. I'll be here till we still got people coming in, because here's a rancher that's 67 years old, Reverend Pinkney, and he's getting death threats from everybody. Because he's standing up for his rights, he's getting death threats. They got a 24-hour security force on him to make sure that nobody gets to him. And you ain't going to get to this guy right now, I'll tell you that.
Who are the death threats coming from?
Well, the libtards, the people that work for the government that think that they're getting big money for doing the right thing, selling our country out. But I'm telling you, all of them on this line today who thinks America don't need guns or let them just register them and all this, no, that ain't what gets you freedom. If we hadn't had guns, they drew their weapons and had them pointed on us.
Wow. That is amazing. But listen, Ken, this is some great news, and I've been reading about the Bundy wreck and hearing all about it, and you know what? I should have known that you would be there.
Well, when I got the call that I left on Wednesday evening at 5 o'clock from Michigan, the next day at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was pulling into this ranch here.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove 35 hours and slept 4 hours at a rest area to make it here to help this guy out. Because if we don't stand together, and the TIs better understand this too, you can sit around and argue with each other and do nothing, and nothing's going to get done. This is where you get things done. You get it done with numbers. And
absolutely.
If they need to do that down in Katrina. They need to get 2 million people down there and say, we demand our money that you stole from us, and you got to start putting these people on notice that we're not going to take it. We're tired of this.
Absolutely. You know what? When I get down there, we're going to have a big rally. We're going to have a big rally. We're going to have people come from all over the state, because the people all over the state of Louisiana and Mississippi and all the surrounding area, Alabama, Texas, every place, we're going to bring them all down there, and we're going to have a big mass demonstration, because, hey, I'm going to start planning and putting people together now to try to get it done. But, Ken, hey, I really appreciate you, but I got to let you go, and all the people that's on the radio today, whatever time I gave you, I'm going to have to cut it in half, because we don't have a whole lot of time, but I tell you, this has been a tremendous show. It definitely got me boiling. So, Ken, I'm so happy and I'm so proud of you. You just keep up the great work that you're doing.
Okay, Reverend Pink. Yeah, everybody have a great day, and God bless all of you.
All right, you be safe out there.
We're going to need him for long. Okay.
All right. My friend Dorothy, make it short and sweet if you can.
Well, I'll try. I would like to be able to read a resolution from the city of St. Martin's.
We kind of go right here. I'll let you know when time's up.
Okay. Well, this is on human trafficking, a resolution passed by Mayor Jim Rothstein. Whereas human trafficking is repudiated to be one of the most profitable endeavors of organized crime and the fastest growing enslaving thousands of people within our nation borders each year, and perhaps millions outside those borders. It is a crime in increasing proportion, fully repugnant to American beliefs, being a crime that preys on the world's most vulnerable people. I'm going to skip down and tell you what some of the resolutions in the criminal codes that he's changing. Any person or entity who uses human trafficking, children, child porn, pedophilia, or compromise, extortion, or cause another person to do an unwilling act shall be guilty of a felony with a mandatory 25 years to life in prison, no parole, prison sentence. This whole thing is going after not just the Johns, but are going after the networks that are involved in it. It, for the first time, is a resolution that is seizing the money and any benefits that the networks are getting, which are huge in this country, and it is putting the money, the benefits, into the hands of the victims for the first time. Please know this is something that can be used by all cities, written as is, because lawyers are putting it together. Jim Rothstein, Mayor Jim Rothstein from St. Martin, Minnesota, was a Navy, member of the Navy, who honorably left the military. He was a New York City detective and investigated many, many crimes, as well as know that the crime scene movie Deep Throat, which is virtually the keystone of this kind of abuse of human beings. She was drugged, beaten, and put into sexual slavery against her will. Everybody, including our criminal Supreme Court, ignored that it was pornography and a crime scene, even when Senator Keating came out, and they put it in the hands of every state to determine whether or not this was a crime scene and whether or not this was actually pornography. Those who helped perpetuate it, and Linda Gorman, who was Linda Lovelace, she was Catholic, her father was a police officer in New York, those who actually put together the money and distributed it were from the Colombo family, Roman Catholic, so it was a Colombo mafia family, and distributed it were Roman Catholics, which goes back to the Catholic Church allowance of abuse of children, and not just the abuse of children, but the manipulation of these children into adulthood, who were then put into sexual slavery, and George W. Bush gave Pope Benedict immunity in 2004 for those crimes as Pope, yet he was not Pope when this was all happening. This is an important document. So if anybody wants to get a hold of Reverend Pinckney, I will gladly send you this document so you can get it into each of your city councils, passing it. It is time to take back. Please know there's more important information on this because after World War II, the Himmler-Hitler-Eichmann study, they brought over from Germany and put this into effect throughout many of our towns and communities, the intentional abuse of children under the age of five. That was physical, sexual, psychological, using technological. This was the intentional shattering of children. And depending on how you did it, you could either use a child for sexual slavery, use a child to become, pardon the term, but a mindless, shattered human being to kill people, or to psychologically brutalize and abuse people. That is why we have what we currently have going on in this country, is because of that study and absolute application, and our Congress knows about it because they ignored when it was being raised numerous times to protect the citizens. So again, and oh, by the way, I worked for FEMA during Hurricane Katrina in Mississippi. And I was one of the people who stood up for the people on the ground wanting to put down things that were going to help them. There were numerous people within FEMA, but please know I witnessed a great deal of things that America and states should be absolutely appalled about because of those who were the money grabbers. So,
absolutely. All right. Okay. You got 30 seconds to say whatever you want. We can take it from there.
Please feel free to get a hold of Reverend Pinckney. My name's Dorothy, and I'll share some facts with you and information. It's time for us to pull together peacefully and move forward. And, oh, by the way, for Ken, if he's still on the line, suggest to the BLM that they take Dick Cheney's ranch in Wyoming. I'm sure if he's willing to give up his ranch and all of his cattle, then there you go. Thank you.
All right, now. Hey. Sahara, are you there?
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. I'm here. How are you?
Great. Listen, you got about 7 minutes, so let's cut it to seven. Let's get going.
Okay, Reverend Pinckney, I was just making an adapted, abbreviated presentation. Could you skip to one other person first and come back to me in a moment?
Yes. Say that again.
Could you go to the next person and come back to me? Because I'm not going to try to read what I was going to read for this week due to the time shortage. I almost have a replacement.
Don't have to say no more. Let's do it. All right, my good friend, Ms. Tams, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Wade, how about yourself? How about yourself? I don't have a whole lot of time today, so I got so many callers. I guess today is a hot day, and we've been rolling. So listen, you go right ahead, tell us whatever your heart want to say. I want to tell you your husband done flipped. He's gone mad. Your ex-husband.
My ex-husband.
Yeah, he's gone mad. I tell you, he done flipped mad. So
he's a long time ago.
Right.
I just wanted to say somehow send me to Lady Dorothy information because she got a lot of information that, you know, that I can, you know, give with her and move forward on some things with.
Absolutely. Who is that you want to talk to?
The lady who just got off before the lady that
before
me, the Lady Dorothy, who was talking about human trafficking.
Absolutely.
And she was saying you can give her my email and tell her to contact me. You know, so that we can communicate on some issues dealing with my children and what my ex-husband's doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're right on the money. But listen, if it's okay with you, I'll give you some more time next week, but I got to move on, Ms. Tans.
Okay, no problem.
All right, appreciate that. All right, my good friend Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
And I tell you, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of time for you today, but I did want to get you on, give you a chance to say something.
Okay, what I was going to read today is torture in the United States. Torture in the United States includes documented and alleged cases of torture both inside the United States and outside its borders by U.S. government personnel. This includes the U.S. government, 50 U.S. state and territorial governments, 3,033 county, and thousands of municipal governments, all of which have their own independent judicial systems. All are subject to the U.S. Constitution and their own state constitutions. While term torture is defined in numerous places, including dictionaries and encyclopedias of various nations or cultures. This article only addresses the legal definition of the term under codified and case law of the United States of America. After the U.S. dismissed U.S. nations' concerns about torture in 2006, one U.K. judge observed, America's idea of what torture does not appear to coincide with that of most civilized nations. A two-year study by the U.S. Independent Group concluded that it was indisputable that U.S. forces had employed torture as well as cruel, inhuman, or regarding treatment in many that the nation's most senior officials bear ultimate responsibility for allowing and contributing the spread of these techniques, and that there is substantial evidence that information obtained by these methods were neither useful nor reliable. Torture is illegal and punishable within the U.S. territorial bounds. Thank you for listening.
Hey, thank you so much, Gloria. I really appreciate you, young lady. Take care of yourself. Let me go back to Sahara. Sahara, are you there?
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. Can you hear me?
All right. Let's rock and roll because we don't have a whole lot of time. Let's do it.
Okay. There are two things that have happened recently that made me feel very nervous. I just wanted to go ahead and share with y'all what's happened there. I'm not going to name any names, but in my family, one thing that happened near midnight at the end of Tuesday, April 8th, is one family member had members of the organized targeting with the mind control operations. Other members specifically attacked my hearing, especially my left ear, and me being in the process of trying to recover my hearing and my balance. A member of my family was literally circling me in the local Walmart parking lot, honking the horn at me, to disorient and harm my hearing further. And the person has admitted it, and they said their story. That was Tuesday, April 8th, close to midnight or possibly just after, so it might have been Wednesday, April 9th in the midnight hour. And there were at least two other strange and potentially dangerous situations with regard to vehicles involved. They appear to be what is referred to as the God Squad on the documentary series called Breaking the Faith and Escaping the Prophet that appear on TLC, which at least used to stand for the Learning Channel, and they follow people around when they're trying to leave a church or a cult or some other kind of organization that is following these kinds of protocols that seem to be infiltrated for MKUltra. And then I was trying to pull up the specific photograph, but that's, for some mysterious reason, is having trouble being pulled up right now. I got a lot of trouble uploading it. It's in the photos section of facebook.com/SNOEOAWC. And I had uploaded a photo for public view of a text where I did block out the last three numbers of the person's mobile phone number. But it's another member of my family that literally used the language of how it is now so of utmost importance that they, I'm going from memory now, need to get my thoughts under their control, that it's become an ever so dangerous situation should they not be able to succeed in doing so. So I'll double check if it's, you know, when we hang up, I'll just close here and I'll double check. It's photo number 5 of the 7-part set to upload that entire text. And I'll double-check that it's all intact there, and if not, I'll re-upload. And that's all I'll say for today due to the time shortage. So thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. You have a great day. You here? All
yes,
right.
Thank you.
All right. Elvira, are you there? Elvira,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney. Can
all
you
right.
Hear me?
How you doing?
I'm just hanging in there, Reverend Pinkney. I'm still very ill. I'm trying to get the bleeding stopped, and these doctors, you know, what they've been doing to me all these years. And it seems that nobody seems to get, it don't seem to click what's happening here. And these doctors need to be stopped. It's like Hitler. That's what it reminds me of. And then they're changing my medical records. They even claimed that a psychiatrist saw me when I was in the hospital. And then they got all that on my medical record. They're just completely changing it from the multiple chemical sensitivity stuff. And it's just a shame that this is going on. And I wanted to say something to the Katrina guy. You know, a lot of some of the TIs are also from there. And I pray that things go well because this should not be. And to Lynn, I pray that she gets better too. And let's keep up the fight because she put on a great, great, great fight. And we need her out here.
Absolutely.
And Ralph.
Absolutely.
And Ralph. Yes. And for you, Reverend Pinkney, you keep up the great work. Don't let them stop you no matter what. You keep going. And one other thing, they took my land. And I'm trying to fight to get my property back. My brother, he just sold it out from under me without my signature, anything. And because I'm ill, I can't do nothing about that, too. Now, I'm hoping that I can get the help that I need to take care of both of these problems because I got one foot on the banana peel in the graveyard and the other one on the banana peel if I don't get help soon. And these doctors are going to get away with what they did to me. This is a political issue because of my human rights activism, my protest. I protested the NAACP, no aid for the afflicted, counting on protection. And I, because of what they did to me, and I was protesting about toxic mold and toxic waste, trying to educate people on these issues. And because of this, I have about 15 things under my belt. We also shut down I-95 for 2 hours, right on Mr. Rhodes. I'm just so proud of Mr. Rhodes. And this is it, what I can say today.
All
and
right.
Pray for me, and I hope that the help I need comes soon. Thank you
all
for
right,
listening.
All right, we will. We're working on it. Give out your phone
thank
number
you.
You want somebody to call you. Make it quick.
561-302-8872. Let's shut these doctors down. I've been to several states, and these doctors and social workers have been stopping everything that, you know, stop the music.
All right, okay, I gotta move on. My good friend Mary, you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I want to wish everybody a beautiful Palm Sunday. And we're going into Holy Week when we praise God for his sacrifice of his only begotten Son so that we can all have the right to eternal life if we take it. And we want to start by hoping that love arises in everyone's heart, no matter what religion you are or you ain't. We have a wonderful opportunity to love one another. And I want to say that I give up on the idea that African Americans will be treated like human beings in this country. I think it is time for us to press for our indigenous rights. I say we are indigenous to America. We were made in America. We have affinity with Africans everywhere, but we are not Africans in that sense. We are not from the Bahama Islands. We are not South Americans. African Americans have a language all our own. We have a culture all our own. We are made of mixed blood. Our DNA has been contaminated due to years of oppression, race, and some by choice. But we are a unique and peculiar people, and it is time for us to press for our indigenous rights. We are the people who were made in America. Our labor needs to be our own. Our decisions regarding legalities need to be our own. And it's time for us to press for integration and to press for separation along with our reparations so that we can have our own. And that you can read about our Free Speak blog. And I say African Americans are an indigenous people. I want to congratulate Chakwe Lumumba, who is the son of Mr. Lumumba, who was murdered in Jackson, Mississippi. He's running for mayor. He has already passed the runoff. He's already passed, you know, getting his qualification.
Mm-hmm.
So he is going to be in the runoff for the Jackson mayor, and that is going to be April 22nd. He seeks to fulfill his father's mayorship, and I wish him all the best in that. And I want you to know that this is Holy Week, and we've had an Easter execution. Yes, Jesus Christ was the Easter execution, and he died for all men everywhere, and we need to stop executions. We need to stop executing people with mystery drugs that the system wants to keep mysterious. They want the right to murder people with drugs that we don't know anything about. One man, it took 25 minutes to murder him. Torture. And murders and slavery, that's all this system knows. And it is time for us to do what the Bible said. The Bible said, come out from her. Come out from among them, my people. Revelation 18:4. We've sought acceptance when we should pursue separation, indigenous rights, reparations, and property. God bless the child who has his own. Reverend Pinckney, I want to thank God for you, and I want you to please let people know how they can support your program. And as I said, you can read more about the quest to be designated as indigenous people so that we can start our own everything, because I really don't see much hope for African Americans to be treated like human beings in this system. No matter how many elected officials we put up, or anything else. We've tried it all. We've tried it all. And so it's time to flip the script and make a new plan. So thank you, Reverend Pinckney. My name is Mary Neal, and I welcome any inquiries. And you know that I have the utmost respect for you, for your show. Wow, I was so impressed with our member who was at the ranch down there. Wow, what a day. What a day. So I thank you, Gloria. I thank you, Dorothy, all of you, for joining together and letting the world see that we're not talking racism. We're not talking about black versus white. We're just being realistic. And we're talking about the people versus elitists who would seek to oppress us. And not all people with money are in that category. We have some people with money who may even be of the Caucasian race who are not in that category. We don't categorize anybody. Your actions categorize you. Your actions categorize you. And so we thank God for righteous people of every race and every nationality. We thank God for you, and I wish you all a happy Holy Week. Reverend Pete, you please give your information.
All right. Those of you who are out there, and we do need the funds because we're fighting this mayor and all the corruption here, you can send a check to Banco. That's B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Let me repeat that. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Or you can go to bhbanco.org and you can just put on donation, click on donation, and you are able to send funds to Reverend Pinckney to help out with whatever need. Listen, I want to thank each and every one of you today. Those who have already sent money, please, please, please send the money. We need it. We're desperate right now, so we need all the help we can get. So those of you out there, those of you who can afford to give, hey, send it, and let's see what happens. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown because she didn't get a chance to speak. But Belinda Brown, talk to me today. Tell me what's going on down there in Louisiana.
Pastor Pinckney, thank you so much for giving Mr. Carl Gamble an opportunity to share and invite him to come back on next week, because here in Louisiana, you know, our black communities is still bladed, Pastor Pinckney, and bladed. I'm talking about just a blatant disregard of how the life of people are being treated here. We still have so many people that, you know, have been displaced. You know, also, you know, I hope Mr. Carl Gamble get a chance to talk about the lack of African-American-owned business here in Louisiana. They it was all by design to push these people out of business and close our schools, Pastor Pinckney. It's just so sad what's going on here, but I'm excited because we have done exactly as, you know, many others talked about, was organize ourselves and mobilize the people here in the state of Louisiana to expose the injustice that's been taking place. And we have become a force for justice on a strong, united front. And we're standing up against these powers that be, because we're not afraid to speak truth to power here in the state of Louisiana. With Louisiana United International, Pastor Pinckney, I'm here to tell you that people are saying that it's about time that somebody done something, and that somebody is all of us united together on a strong united front. Thank you so much, Pastor Pinckney. This has been a terrific show today. That's all I have to say for now, but I am so looking forward to you coming down and so many, many others across the country to support us here in Louisiana so that the whole world can know the truth about what's really going on here and what happened to the people during Katrina.
Absolutely. Hey Belinda, I'm, you know, we should have a date in June where we're gonna plan a march. Whether it be in Slidell or New Orleans or Covington, wherever it may be, we should make sure that we have a date and plan like we did before when we picked the courthouse down there. But I think that we you know, might get some more people to come out and have a mass demonstration somewhere.
Well, right. We've been talking to the Million Sister Empress, which is the president of the Million Women's March. And we are planning something for October with you, Pastor Pinckney, but we want to make sure that it fits within your schedule because we want to march on the Capitol here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That is where our capital, the state capital, is located. And we want people to come from all over the country in busloads. And I've been talking to Mary Kramer in Detroit, Michigan. They're you know, getting ready to help organize and load up their buses in support. New York and Philadelphia, California, people coming from all over Pastor Pinckney. But, I really want to, I had also talked to Danny Glover, the young lady that's helping to do his scheduling, to schedule a meeting for him to come down and help us with a fundraiser so that we can have money to support our grand, our mass march in October.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I know she I talked with her, and she told me she's working extremely hard to try to find a time that he can come for you.
Yeah, I know she had given me a tentative date, but the date's been changing and fluctuating back and forth. But I'm pretty sure that I'm very confident that she's going to come up with a good, solid date for us to run with and go ahead and lock it in for us. But I'm looking forward to that, Pastor Pinckney. If you can make any calls, I think her name is Nicole.
Correct. It is Nicole.
Yeah, on our behalf to get that locked in for us, the sooner the better, because we're ready. We're ready here, and the people down here is ready. We got a lot going on. We're excited about the things that's going on here, especially here in St. Tammany Parish, where we have the sheriff under investigation, our district attorney under investigation, and we just had Peter Galvin, the coroner for this St. Tammany Parish, indicted, and he went to jail on yesterday, which was April the 12th.
Hey, man, now that's definitely good news. But listen, Belinda, like you said, I got to move on. I got to let you go. And but we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for a great show.
All right, God bless you now.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Dave, you were going in and out on me. When I got ready to bring you in, you was gone.
I know. I had guests here at my house, and I couldn't talk right then.
Oh, okay.
So what I want, I'm trying to get my paperwork together here.
All right.
I just want to bring up the fact. I'm going to get right to it so you can. We have enough time here. I only got a couple minutes here.
Right.
This is an election year, and I've been saying for quite some time that I haven't been able to address what I address except in an election year, meaning that I've talked about Ted Gunderson. I've talked about various people like that, Dennis Kucinich. And by talking about them, I realized from Ted Gunderson that he addressed the Department of Justice, and he had no headway whatsoever. Dennis Kucinich, he addressed Congress, the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, got nowhere. So I realized that I can't get them. I'm not going to come up against the CIA, the Department of Justice, Department of Defense. But what I can do as a person, I can easily get things done, through lower law enforcement, not lower law enforcement, but down to a level, you know, where I can deal with it, like a county level, local level. And so what I do is I hit the election year very, very hard. And when I hit that, I realize that it's a pivotal moment, you know, for me because of the fact that I'm coming against the sheriff department, okay, because I can – the sheriff department is in such a – has so much power that people really don't realize how much power they have. And because it was an election year and because they are elected official, I deal with them in a way where I'm trying to get my paperwork straight in here. I'm sorry. When I come at them – I come at them and expose what they're doing, okay? Now, we know that the Sheriff's Department has information technology, information system, information weapons, psychotronic warfare, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same, okay? This is according to Dennis Kucinich, Ted Gunderson, Lynn Segal. She worked, she was the vice president of the United States Psychotronic Association. She knew how these weapons were dispersed to various sheriff departments as the vice president. And so we have a lot to go on here. My objective is to get individuals to deal with their own county, okay? Whoever's in the earshot of listening to what I'm saying right now, get with your county, okay? And as you get with this election year, you find out the sheriff is running, okay, if he's running against somebody, okay? So if he's running against somebody, then you're dealing with the sheriff. You're not only dealing with the sheriff, but you're dealing with the opponent for the sheriff that's running against him. So what happens here is what I've done in the past times is I look for the debates, okay, between the sheriff and the and his opponent. I look for these. I look for a debate. Sometimes it's sponsored by the League of Women Voters. Sometimes it's somewhere else. But the bottom line is that if you get to the Board of Elections, okay, the Republican Board of Elections or the Democratic Board of Elections, you get to these individuals and they'll tell you what the schedule is, not only for the Sheriff Department, okay, and if the sheriff is running, but also for the Board of Legislators who are responsible for the budgets for the sheriff, okay, and for, you know, all the budgets, basically. They give you so much money, they voted in. And this is why it's important. If you can't get to the sheriff, then you get to the Board of Legislators in that county. Okay? So once you get there, you to the debate, okay, once you find out where the debates are being held, you get out a list of speakers, because what happens is like a town hall meeting. Okay, that's the effect that it is. And you get a chance to speak, you put your name on a list when you get there, and then you give, when I get there, what I do is once I get a chance to speak, I just tell them, you know, what are you going to do, you know, about the abuses that are going on in your county, okay? Most generally, they'll say, we don't know anything about anything, okay? And what I'll do is I'll explain to them what this technology is about, okay? And as I explain what this technology is about, this tech, you know, information technology or psychotronic warfare or information warfare or whatever label they want to put onto it, including information technology, because this is what they go under in the Sheriff's Department. What I do is I try to give them an idea. First of all, that has definitely happened in their county. I go to the county. I go to the internet. I look up. I go to the web, you know, the homepage for the Sheriff's Department, whatever county I'm looking at. I go to the homepage, and I will see the command staff who operates the Sheriff's Department. Okay, somewhere in there, you're gonna at some point you're gonna find an individual who works for the Sheriff's Department, like. Chief deputy of so-and-so, chief deputy of this, chief deputy of corrections, chief of operations, something like this. And one of those individuals is going to have a bio, and it's going to say in that bio that they're extensively trained in information technology or they're an information technology specialist. For instance, if you go to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, you're going to see there's two people in the command staff there, two women. One was a part of an information technology unit. The other person was a part of it. She says that she's an information technology specialist. These are the people that you're looking for, because somewhere down the line, if we get the force behind us like they had out there in Nevada, okay, heads are going to roll, because we'll be able to hold these people accountable for what they've done and what they've been doing. The bottom line is that, like I said before on previous broadcasts, is that there's good sheriffs and there's bad sheriffs. The good sheriffs are just as bad as the bad sheriffs, because of the fact that they're keeping silent, because they're not willing to come out and speak out against these things, because they have the technology too. And there's been so much damage that's been done by the bad sheriffs, okay, that they're afraid that they're going to be held accountable for this too. And that's the reason why they don't speak out against it. I know this because I know two people. One person in my church, he was in the Sheriff's Department here for 30 years. The other individual that I know I've worked for, he retired after 32 years, and they both told me the same thing. So my point is that I believe that we can get to them within an election year, okay? And if by doing so, everybody has to get on board, okay? First, they check out their own county. Once they check out their own county, okay, to see if the sheriff is running or if he's not running, if they can't go after the sheriff, then they go to the legislators. Once they get done with that, they go to the surrounding counties, okay? They're going to go to the surrounding counties. In other words, whatever county's touching their county, you do the same process in that county. And that's my plan. That's what I've been doing for some 30 years now. And it seems to be getting some kind of redress, okay, because people are talking out about that. Plus the fact, you know, my wife and I went to a meeting in Utica, New York, okay, the Oneida County, okay, and because this is where we went to Oneida County, which is in central New York. And they literally, you know, they threatened our life. Basically, they said that our tire was going to blow out at 65 miles an hour, which it did. I checked my tires before I left the meeting. And it seemed fine, but at 65 miles an hour, my tire disintegrated. So it's a very dangerous caper that we're on here. But the thing is, if you're not willing to die for what you believe in, then so be it. Okay, that's what Martin Luther King said. So That's all I have to say today because I'm kind of rushed. As you can tell, I'm running at 100 miles an hour here, and I got to get back to my guests, but that's what
all
I wanted
right.
to say, Reverend.
Listen, Dave, that's real good. So your tires blew out, huh?
I called. I got in touch with the FBI. I got in touch with Wackenhut because Wackenhut is an investigative agency, and Wackenhut, they have the same technologies that all the other agencies have, like Homeland Security and the Fusion Centers and the Sheriff's Department. They all got this technology, okay? So they're all being – so basically we can hold them all hostage at some point. But the bottom line is my tire did blow out. I tried to get Wackenhut to investigate it. They said they couldn't do it. Okay.
Dave, listen, we will talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor.
All right, then. Take care of yourself. My good friend from beautiful California who lives way up there in the mountains, Matter of fact, my nose started bleeding. I was so high. But listen, my good friend Roz. Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm so blessed, and this is the program to listen to. I am so proud of Ken. I am so proud of you and Mary and Ralph and all the guests that come on for standing up and telling the truth and not being afraid. I'm giving everybody a standing ovation. Blessings from God on all your lives. And everyone else out there, I send hugs, I send love, I send prayers. We need to pray together. If people think this is happening to black people, this is happening to white people, this is happening to Latinos all over. And I'm here to tell you that it's election time, like Dave said. Governor Brown of California, the worst state, worst education, people are leaving in droves. California, here we go. It's not his job. Our elected officials, our state senators, our assembly people, it's not their job. They're mostly Democrats in this state. The school district, we have students that are suing for teacher tenure. We have people writing about teachers. People should be writing about the unions, how terrible they are, and that they don't stand up for the teachers. $49 million at LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District. No one is suing the school district for buying iPads for millions and billions of dollars that do not have educational programs that are even complete. We are dumbing down our children's education. It is despicable. It's unconscionable what we're doing to the teachers and teacher jails on trumped-up charges. They're killing. LAUSD is purposely killing off their injured teachers by denying the medical benefits they need, deny being paid. I just don't understand this. It's just totally out of my realm as a human being that a school district, no one says anything, that they're killing off teachers and students, paying off doctors for bogus medical reports, lawyers to lie, judges that can hardly breathe back from a stroke that can't even tell the truth. We have workers' comp systems that they don't even know that a judge can't make a medical diagnosis because he's not a doctor and he lies and haul his reports. In here in California, we are not alone. This is going on all across America. It is time all of you need a good, swift kick in your butt and get up and start telling the truth because we don't have a country anymore. We've taken God out of most places. We need to put the Lord back in because without God, nothing is possible. And we need to stand up for our children, especially our children. This is our future. And for all the parents out there that their children died or all the families, I send out my heart just breaks for them. Here is kids from low-income families that work so hard that were killed on this bus trip. So we all send out our love to them. And everyone that's been on this program that have terrible things that have happened with their children, hugs to all of you. May God's peace come over you today. But we all need to stand up together. We have Superintendent Deasy. We have the whole school board. We have Don Watkins, David Holmquist at Los Angeles Unified School District. Nobody touches them. No one says a word. They are killing off teachers. They are dumbing down their education. It is disgusting. We have Governor Brown. We have an election coming up. This is in the primary in June. The big election in November, we need to vote these people out. They need to be accountable. School districts need an oversight committee. We have a school district in California they are paying over $600,000 to a superintendent. Wouldn't we all like that job?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Without you and this show, there is no truth in the media anywhere.
We got an obligation to stand up and fight to make sure we're doing the things that need to be done. You know, we got this sleazy mayor, that I played the tape earlier. I'm going to try to play that tape every week so people can understand how serious this matter is. Listen to this, how this guy talk. And like you said, all his resources is Whirlpool. His resources is the courthouse, the prosecutor, the sheriff department, the clerk. These are his resources that he try to use against people. So he's about as sleazy as you can get, but we're going to stop his butt good for this election. We're going to make sure he never had that title mayor before his name ever, ever, ever again. Because I tell you, he's a real low-down sleazeball.
Right, he is, and he could be coming to anybody's city. And
right.
All of us need to start standing up because, like, look at Governor Brown. He's getting money for the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his job. He's just the one that their little chosen person for the moment. He used to be for the worker. He's
mm-hmm.
not for the worker. Nobody's
yeah.
for the worker. They're for themselves and the money. We all need to pray. We all need to stand together no matter what color, no matter what religion, and we need to fight this. We need to bring education back. We need to bring civility. We need to bring what's right and what's wrong. I mean, California is really full of fruits and nuts here.
you hit the nail right on the head, you know, fruits and nuts. So you got it all out there in beautiful California, you know. So we know how that is, but that's tremendous. So it gives us an opportunity to do a few things, and I want to thank you, Roz, too, for the work you do, and also for Charles Smith, even though he's dead and gone, but we still love him, and we still should be calling his name out so people can understand how important he was and is to this struggle.
Right. Charles Smith was a wonderful human being, him and his wife, Dorothy. They were worried how I felt. Charles had the nicest, happiest disposition of a person, just truly a wonderful human being. And he didn't complain. He was on oxygen 24/7. They took away his medical. Los Angeles Unified School District, with their millions of dollars for iPads and a $500,000 school, $1 billion school with talking benches and solar panels as the schools fall down. They couldn't pay Charles. They couldn't give him the proper medical care. They took away his money. They couldn't call the paramedics for Mayor Charles. They couldn't clean up the room from toxic chemicals. And so we all are slowly dying. And
wow.
Charles, July of 2012.
Wow, that's amazing. Listen, you got 90 seconds. You're going to have the last word for the show, so go right ahead.
Okay, please pray. Happy Passover. Happy Easter. Please contact me, 818-631-0513, 818-631-0513, or rozywow@aol.com, rozywow@aol.com. Eat good, like Edward says. Eat good, think good thoughts, and put God in the center of your life. Keep singing and praising like in 2 Chronicles 20, and the enemy was defeated, and we can defeat the enemy. Ken showed us that, and we're going to defeat him more. And the more you stand up, the better you feel in your heart and your soul and your spirit. And God, may God be with you. May a blessing come to each of you out there. With love, I'm sending out love, hugs, and blessings to everybody. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
Thank you. Now, let's listen to this mayor, this sleazy mayor from Benton Harbor, Michigan, Mayor James Howard, Hightower.
Emergency manager, Whirlpool, sheriff's department, prosecutor, clerk, and everybody else who works against the people. On that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight, all. Everybody have a great night. Enjoy yourself. And remember, let's stand together. Goodnight, all.